Prologue. The Celt's long strides sliced through the mist rising from the moor. Like waves, the damp fog swirled and rolled from his legs. Overhead, gray clouds squeezed one fat, icy raindrop that missed the brim of his brown derby and landed with a splat on the end of his nose. He slashed it away with the back of his hand. A fitting morning to match his foul mood. But beyond the next bend lay his destination, a modest manor, elegant but not sprawling, nestled on a choice piece of farmland. His feet devoured the remaining distance, carrying him to a wide staircase with stone steps and a curving banister. His grip on a pearl-handled walking cane tightened as he lifted it to strike a matching set of oak doors. At the second knock, the doors parted, and a pert housekeeper draped in black from head to foot poked her head out.
"Can I help you, sir?"
"The master of this house, is he in?"
Her eyebrow lifted.
"Aye, sir, but Mr. MacLeod does not take visitors at this hour."
He cut the words from her mouth with a sharp glare. Voice low, he lifted the cane and touched the handle to his forehead.
"Tell him the Celt has come with business to discuss."
Her firm chin dropped a finger span. She lowered her voice and spoke his name cautiously.
"The Celt?"
"Ah, good. An appropriate amount of fear." He nodded.
"That's what I said. Now you will fetch him for me, aye? Dinna tarry. You understand my meaning."
Eyes wide, she nodded, ruffling the edge of her cap.
"Aye, sir."
"Good."
He lowered the cane to thump against the floor, then motioned past her to a room that opened off the hall.
"Is that the parlor?"
Again she nodded.
"I'll wait there. Go on with you now."
In answer, she whirled and sped up the stairs. He followed suit, the tails of his overcoat flapping, and swept through the hall into the parlor. The woman was sufficiently cowed. She would not keep him waiting long. Indeed, the hands of the mantel clock had only crept forward a few paces before the door behind him opened with a whoosh. Biting back a smile, the Celt turned from the cheery fire. He and Brian MacLeod had never met, but the Celt made it his business to know about men of power, their strengths and weaknesses. MacLeod was impatient, brutish, and loud, with a quick temper and a perpetual scowl. He loomed in the entrance, his untucked shirt drooping sloppily over his trousers.
"Who are you, and what do you mean frightening my staff half to death?"
Arrogant fool. His identity was a well-guarded secret. Were he to answer MacLeod, the man would be dead before nightfall. The Celt savored the name on his tongue, anticipated how the speaking of it would rip the self-assurance from the lout's bullish shoulders.
"Lucy MacLeod, your niece, is alive."
He could almost see the name rolling through the man's brain, feel the flush that crept over his cheeks as it was processed. Finally, MacLeod's mouth opened and he gaped like a bass on a hook.
What did you say?
Ah, disbelief mingled with dread.
"Lucy MacLeod," he repeated. "Daughter of Seamus and Adele MacLeod, sister named Bridget. Names sound familiar?" "Of course they do. He was my brother, his wife and children, my family." "Then you will be relieved to know that one of your family, the eldest child, is alive and well." "You have proof of this?"
MacLeod spoke slowly, forming each word carefully. The man would be an easy mark in a game of poker.
"Would I have come if I didn't?"
To his credit, MacLeod collected himself quickly. He strode to the door, closed it tight, and then turned on his heel and returned to the fireplace. His blue eyes, so pale as to almost appear gray, narrowed, and he drew himself up through his barrel chest until he stood nearly as tall as the Celt.
"Forgive me. Your claim has set me back for certain. If indeed the news be true, I would be most pleased. But due to the nature of the revelation, I must insist you tell me how you know of it, and what proof you have that she is who you claim."
"Pleased?" The Celt scratched his chin.